This is Bikescape number 28, September 17th, 2005. Welcome to Bikescape. It's been a while since I've spoken to you Bikescapers out there, and during that time there have been a lot of new Bikescapers appearing on the scene. I have no idea why. Where are you all coming from? There's hundreds of more people. Maybe it's because I'm finally got this podcast in the right classifications in iTunes under transportation and then bicycles underneath that. I got out of the sports category, or I'm still in the sports category, but feel like I'm at home in the transportation / bicycle category. So a lot of things happening. There was a great disaster in New Orleans, and like everybody else, I spent a lot of time thinking, worrying, wondering about it, just in awe of the whole disaster. And living in San Francisco here, I'm definitely, those of us who live here are definitely more aware of the possibility of normal life suddenly changing in an instant when we have an earthquake or whatnot. And wasn't very comforting to watch what's been going on down there. And aside from all the scenes of human suffering, one of the things that really stuck in my mind about that was just watching this one group of this family sitting in a car waiting outside of a gas station waiting for gas to appear. And they were stuck with their kids. They had no money, no food, but they were stuck because they were in their car and no gas. So I was wondering how bicycling could help. I'm not sure it'd be much help in New Orleans, but here in San Francisco it would be. And after an earthquake disaster, I think we would be in, those of us who ride bicycles would be in much better shape. And not only that, but we'd be in a position to help. So that brought to mind something I read a few years ago. This woman, Serenity Enriquez, got a courier disaster response team together. She actually herded a bunch of messengers, which is like they say herding cats in a rainstorm, and she trained them in. Why don't I just play the interview I did with her over the phone? She's since moved up to Lake Tahoe up in the mountains. So she's Serenity in the mountains right now. So give this a listen. All right, okay. We're here with Serenity Enriquez on the phone. She's moved up to the mountains. So Serenity, how you doing that? So you started up the courier disaster response team. Can you tell me why you did that?
Well, I noticed that in... My educational background is emergency response. I'm a major in college of fire science, I'm EMT, done a lot of search and rescue work, a lot of Red Cross volunteer work, and I was also a bike messenger at the time, several years ago in San Francisco, and I noticed that in a lot of the case histories in previous earthquakes and large incidents that have affected San Francisco, usually transportation in the direct aftermath is almost non-existent. And I was thinking, well, bike messengers know the city, are used to working hard, can carry insane amounts of stuff, and if they come across a roadblock, they can pick their bike up and walk over. And so I thought the Courier Disaster Response Team would be a way to involve both of my communities, both my emergency response community and my bike messenger community, and I was looking for a way to unify them, and that's the career disaster response team was rather the result of it.
So how many people did you train? You did this?
Well, there was about 150 bike messengers and bicyclists signed up throughout the course that I was doing it, which is about 2 years before I moved to Tahoe. And I'd say everybody got a little something out of it. Some people just showed up to the meetings. Some people got involved and started training. Everybody kind of participated in their own way. It's rather hard to keep bike messengers interested and organized, especially for something that's going to happen after a disaster. And so keeping them involved was a big challenge for me.
Did you ever read about what happened in New York after 9/11 with the bike messengers up there?
I did. I actually corresponded with a couple of them, and I was amazed at their spontaneity and how they just showed up and were willing to risk the dangers involved and transport supplies and such. The challenge with that, I think, was that emergent volunteers, or volunteers that spontaneously show up after, say, a disaster, are often difficult to work with in that the people who might need them may not be prepared or ready to utilize their services. So when these bike messengers showed up willing to help, a lot of the people had no idea what to do with them. I believe they did end up transporting a lot of like hospital supplies and such. But I was just amazed at their spontaneity and their willingness. And it was inspiring too, because I started the Career Disaster Response Team about 6 months prior that year. And
I thought it was pretty fascinating how they just appeared out of nowhere. You know, I guess they didn't want to sit around and drink beer while the city burned. So, in San Francisco, now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that was actually one of the questions that came up a lot among the bike messengers. You know, what are our priorities? And I was always, you know, saying, well, you know, make sure your family and your home is safe, and take care of your immediate situation before you report, say, to Alamo Square Park, which was our staging area. And their other question was, beer. How do we get enough beer?
So you trained all these people. They're not really organized anymore since you went to the mountains, and I'm sure you're having a really different life now. But
much more laid back now.
Excuse me?
Much more laid back now.
Yes. Well, when you left, the organized response team is gone, but you still have a lot of trained people out here. So if there was a disaster, maybe people would know what to do.
Well, my hope is that all the organizational work that I did is like a seed that lives in people's minds and hearts. And say a large earthquake or something does happen in San Francisco that affects the city, I would hope that people show up to Alamo Square Park and realize that, you know, initiation and responsibility, you know, needs to be assumed. And basically, what I've worked out basically what I'd like people to do, those who are willing to undertake such a task as helping out after a large incident in San Francisco, I'd like them to go to Alamo Square Park, which is central San Francisco, and it's on bedrock in a very centrally located area, and it's less than a mile away from the Mayor's Office of Emergency Services, which is going to be the main organizational hub for all the agencies that will be responding and helping the city recover from the disaster. So I'd like people to show up there, to Alamo Square Park, and then send somebody over to the Mayor's Office of Emergency Services and establish contact. And then the Mayor's Office of Emergency Services and or agencies within can then relay the tasks that they need done, the deliveries and such that they need done, to the messenger staging at Alamo Square Park. Of course, you would need someone to volunteer as a dispatcher and make sure everybody stays safe. I think I try to make it as simple as possible so that it's still viable. I kind of overdid it when I was there, But, you know, that's just things you learn.
Yeah, if you just leave a basic framework in place, kind of like critical mass, everybody shows up at the same place and then things take place at that point.
Yeah, I'd like to be like that.
Messengers aren't using radios so much anymore. They use those Nextel phones now. Would they still be working in a disaster?
You know, that's one of the challenges that people would face afterwards. If several things that occur with phones, cell phones included, is that what if the repeater that those cell phones goes out of service, whether through damage or, you know, short of electricity, what have you? What if it just gets knocked out? What if it's overloaded by people trying to call for help and such? So cell phones and echoes aren't as reliable as, say, radios. While radios can also go out of service due to the same challenges, they're not as likely to. And I feel more comfortable if more of those messengers had radios. Yes.
I noticed on the San Francisco Bicycle SF Bike List, there was somebody put up a post asking for volunteers to learn ham radio. So. Might be something to think about in the future.
Oh, yeah, I just sent that out last week. Yeah, you can get your ham license by... There's something called a hamgram. You show up, you study, you know, this book, and you highlight all the right answers, and then you read the right answers like 3 times, and then you take this test. I don't think you can learn anything, but if you answer all the test questions correctly, you get a ham license, and it's good for 10 years. And then you can... either volunteer with, say, ACS, which is a volunteer organization that works under the mayor's office of emergency services that provides amateur radio services in an emergency, or you can have a ham radio. That's just fun.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to us. Is there anything else that I missed?
I'm not sure. It's been so long since I've thought about it. I was kind of relieved to just let it go because I felt like such a responsibility towards this idea I birthed. But I realized that it's going to have to live on in the minds and hearts of the people there.
Yeah, well, like you said, you did plant a seed. It's in my mind, and I never even took the class. Well, you are a local hero. So
oh, thanks.
A declared local hero.
I do recommend the CERT classes. They're hosted free by the fire department in various neighborhoods throughout the year. It's like a 6-week class. It stands for Community Emergency Response Teams. And it's just really good basic training offered to the citizens of San Francisco, and that was one of the fundamentals that I asked messengers to be involved in. And so, yeah, if you call the fire department, they will direct you to that department, and it's free, and it only takes a little bit of time, and it's knowledge worth knowing, I think. And then City College of San Francisco offers very inexpensive first aid CPR classes, and I think that's pretty reasonable, too. And the thing about a lot of this knowledge is that even if you decide not to participate in the CERT disaster response team, you know, post-disaster, it's still knowledge that can be very useful to you and your family.
So those of you here in San Francisco and other places that are prone to disaster, it's always a good idea to save up a lot of money. Those ATMs aren't working. Keep a lot of food in your basement or somewhere in your house, and fresh water. And as we learned from New Orleans, you need to have fresh water and food to last at least a week, because FEMA isn't what it used to be.
Indeed. Right.
Well, thanks a lot. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you talking to us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Serenity. And when I say she's a local hero, she really is. She was the San Francisco Bay Guardian does have these periodic local heroes in their weekly newspaper, and she was one of them. We've actually had a few local heroes on Bikescape now. Chris Carlson was one. The Bike Coalition as a group was another local hero, and there'll be more to come. So she's a great asset in this town, even though she's left. I find it pretty amazing that she actually trained, or at least woke up and allowed people to develop in this skill of neighborhood response. So I will put some links also on the website, bikescape.blogspot.com. Links to the neighborhood emergency response teams from the fire department, NERT. And I'll see what else I can come up with the fire department, and maybe FEMA has some stuff as well that might be useful. You never know. So thanks for listening. Let's see, I got some more stuff to talk about here. Still We Ride, a movie that's playing. My friend Kyle and I are going to be showing this at Station 40 with Liam and the people from Station 40 over there in the Mission in San Francisco this Friday night, right after Critical Mass, 9 o'clock at the Station 40, which is, let's see if I have an address. Yes, 1330B, 16th and Mission. Is it 16th and Mission? It's a little doorway. Hopefully there will be bike parking. I'm working on that. We will have a little party there as well. We'll have room for about 100 people, 80 to 100 people. And anybody who doesn't get in to see it will be able to see it. Let's see. Let me pull this up on the web here. Bicycle Film Festival. Yes, it'll be playing it also for real. The real San Francisco premiere of Still We Ride will be playing at the Victoria Theater at 7 o'clock on Friday, October 7th, as part of the San Francisco Bicycle Film Festival, which we'll probably be doing a show on, come to think of it. There's a bunch of great movies. There's an opening night party on October 5th, the Gang Tussle, Dance Tussle. There's a live score to the Impossible Hour, which is a movie where Ole Ritter tries to break Eddie Merckx's one-hour track record. There's a bike art opening at the Red Ink Gallery, also on Thursday, October 6th, part of the Bicycle Film Festival. A lot of stuff happening with that, so there'll be a link on the website, of course. Check the blog for the Bicycle Film Festival. But if you want a sneak preview to Still We Ride, and come and have a beer with us, and check it out. We'll have probably, you know, informal question and answer afterward, maybe just some discussion. And general fun. I hope to have fun. This is going to be a Critical Mass style movie night. What else is happening? Go to some of the other web pages. Time's up. They've got their usual thing going on. Oh, we will be talking to Michael Green of Bike Blog. Hi, Michael. There, you listening? He has a great blog out of New York, and I'm going to be interviewing him on Monday, I believe, and talking about the state of Critical Mass in New York. That'll be just in, maybe we'll get that on before the next Critical Mass here, before people see Still We Ride. Get some background on what's happening these days in the legal fight and out on the streets as well. We'll be doing that. We're going to have an interview with Mona Caron, who was a painter, a muralist here in San Francisco. She's got a lot of interesting murals in the Bay Area, including one on the DuBose Bikeway, DuBose Street Bikeway. It's just a beautiful thing. So we're going to do it in the style of Art Mobs. If you don't know what Art Mobs is, check out their website. Do a search for Art Mobs. I'll put a link on the site as well. You'll get an idea of how you can, you'll be able to just listen to the podcast and walk past the mural. Or if you're in a city far away, you won't be able to walk past the mural, but you'll be able to see it on the web at least and listen to the artist talk about it. Checking more things. I guess that's about it. Oh, hold on. Oh, yes. This is one last announcement I have here. The Transportation for a Livable City, TLC, here in San Francisco, is going to be having a few events. They're having a training for bicycle and pedestrian advocates Friday through Sunday, October 21st through the 23rd, here in San Francisco. If you dream of winning a campaign, whether for a bike lane or on your daily ride or any other project that supports the goals of the SFBC, the Bicycle Coalition, you can do that while helping to build a powerful, long-lasting force for advocacy in the course of your campaigning. Then you should attend the Thunderhead Campaign Training in San Francisco. The Thunderhead Alliance provides the only professional training series for leaders of bicycle and pedestrian advocacy organizations. The training is for representatives or organizations only, but you know, that's not hard to become a representative of the Bike Coalition. Also, peak oil expert Richard Heinberg will be speaking at New College, 777 Valencia Street, between 18th and 19th at the New College Theater. He's the author of The Party's Over and Power Down, and he'll give a PowerPoint presentation and speak about peak oil and how to avoid oil wars, terrorism, and economic collapse. Sponsored by New College Center for Education and Social Action, Global Exchange, and others, and they're requesting a $10 donation. Oh, speaking of donations, I wanted to mention the Still We Ride. We are going to be donating all proceeds from that. We're going to have a $4 to $10 donation. Well, almost all the proceeds are going to be going towards legal fees in New York for the Free Wheels people who are trying to defend the critical mass and the right to assemble and the right to ride your bike on the streets of New York and any city. Also, a free screening of The End of Suburbia, Thursday, September 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Doors open at 6 p.m. The Red Victorian Bed and Breakfast. That's at 1665. That's 1665 Haight Street, San Francisco, and it's at near corner of Belvedere, one block from the movie theater. And that is about it for Bikescape this week. But I'm sorry we've been gone. I've been gone for a while, but we're back and with a vengeance. All sorts of ideas for movies, for podcasts. So join us later this week and next week. We got the next four podcasts figured out here. So what have I got for you? Something good, I'm sure. Some music to go out with. Oh, yeah, since San Francisco is one of the next cities that everybody's going to... Next time we have a disaster, you'll be hearing all of our music on the radio. So if I can just find this song... Oh, God. Where are we? Here we go. Enjoy, everybody. Bye, everybody. Take the lane. Don't forget.
It only takes a tiny corner of this great big world to make the place you love. My home upon the hill.